No one plans for hair loss, but through Hims, you can take the next step with confidence. Access treatments made with clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil to stop hair loss and regrow hair in 3 to 6 months. No waiting rooms, no hoops, just ingredients with a track record of results. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hims brings expert care straight to you, with 100% online access to personalized treatments that put your goals first. For simple online access to personalized and affordable care for hair loss, ED, weight loss, and more, visit hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for your free online visit. hims.com/Hail Mary. Individual results may vary, based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
Hey, what's up, y'all? Kelly Clarkson with Wayfair. My favorite thing about the holidays? Decking out my whole house. It's not a competition, but if it was, well, I'd win the season with Wayfair. Outdoor inflatable Santa? Got it on Wayfair. Trees, lights, and ornaments? Wayfair. Hosting must-haves like dining sets, beds, sheets, and towels? Wayfair. For everything in your style delivered with fast and free shipping, visit Wayfair.com or the Wayfair app to win the season. But again, it's not a competition.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
The Lakers have officially signed Marcus Smart. What that means for what they can do for the rest of this offseason. Also, the Lakers signed two players to two-way contracts. They waive a player. LeBron James accused of doing steroids. All that more in a jam-packed episode of The Big Lead. What is up and welcome to The Big Lead. My name is Doug McCain, credentialed member of the media. I've covered LA sports and the NBA for over a decade. 24/7 sports, Bleacher Report, Chat Sports as Sy. Also do sports radio for Westwood One covering the NFL. But this is The Big Lead. If you're new to this channel, it's the hottest stories in sports, but a high emphasis on the Los Angeles Lakers. You might know me from my work with the Rams and covering the Dodgers. Well, I'm also a lifelong bleeder of the purple and gold, so there will be tons and tons of Lakers talk on this show, but we've got lots to get into, so let's get right into it. So, first, let's talk about the Lakers signing of Marcus Smart. So, the Lakers, they've been active since free agency started, but signing Marcus Smart, it's probably going to be their last big move, at least for a while. Before signing Marcus Smart, the Lakers were already hard-capped at the first apron since they used that non-tax player mid-level exception, and they were about $900,000 below that line. So to get enough space under the first apron to sign Smart, they had to waive Shake Milton, whose $3 million salary was non-guaranteed until July 20th, and Jordan Goodwin, who had only $25,000 of his $2.3 million salary guaranteed once the Lakers picked up that team option back in late June. So despite going into this offseason above the salary cap, the Lakers, they've been able to make some pretty significant impact signings and find a way to get players that are win-now guys that have a track record in this league. They divided up their $14.1 million non-taxpayer mid-level exception between DeAndre Ayton and Jake LaRavia, and they just inked a deal to bring in Marcus Smart on a two-year, $10.5 million contract with the biannual exception. So after they waived Milton and Goodwin and signed Smart, the Lakers are now $1.1 million under the first apron, and since they are hard cap, they cannot go past that first apron under any circumstances between now and June 30th, 2026. So what that means is options are going to be limited as far as what they can do in the free agent market now because of the guys that they have signed. Now, if you believe the guys they've signed were good additions, then you feel good. I think the fact that you got Ayton, you got Smart, you got the guys that they did, guys that in other years would have gotten much bigger contracts, it does feel like you are getting like some really good quality additions. It's almost like you are getting guys not on the dollar menu, but you're getting guys that could potentially be guys that can really help you in a major way. And I certainly believe that DeAndre Ayton has all the potential in the world to realize that. Is he a meal cook from a 3-star Michelin chef at a 5-star restaurant? Is he someone that is at the dollar menu? I don't think so. I think it's somewhere in between, but I think it's closer to being that 3-star Michelin chef made meal. And I feel like there's a lot of value in this. The Dodgers truly got a couple of BMWs and Mercedes at the price of a Nissan Altima. So I do feel good about the value that they were able to get. And since the Lakers have already had a lot of experience navigating their ways with tight margins, they went into last season just $45,000 below that second apron after LeBron James took a little less than his max salary. They were above the second apron. If they were, they wouldn't have been able to put together enough contracts to execute the Luka Doncic trade, but thankfully they were. So since the Lakers aren't allowed to go past that first apron this year, they won't be subjected to the punishing team building restrictions that other teams that are going after titles will have to overcome. They're allowed to put together contracts and trades and take back more salary in a trade than they send out, but they still have to finish any deal below the first apron under any circumstances. So the NBA, they don't allow the proposed trade to go through unless that is the case. So they'll also be allowed to sign anyone on the buyout market, even players who were previously earning more than the non-taxpayer mid-level exception. So they do have some options there, and it's going to take some time to get to that buyout market for the Lakers to fill that last roster spot. But since they just have $1.1 million under that first apron, they don't have enough room below that hard cap to sign anyone, even at the veterans minimum. So they'd have to reduce some salary in a trade before they can bring on another free agent. And if the Lakers just kind of go with what they have on their current roster, then they would have to really look at that 15th roster spot possibly being filled around the middle of January. So, yeah, I mean, you look at kind of it deeper on this. I mean, that's kind of where they're at. So a lot of teams that have a roster spot open heading into the season, they keep that flexibility until the trade deadline. So it wouldn't be just kind of outside the realm of the possibilities to say, okay, we got 14 players on normal contracts, and two of those 14 players are Bronny James, who played just 181 total minutes as a rookie last season, and the rookie that they signed, Thero. So yeah, we'll see if depth is an issue. It could be if guys get injured, but that's kind of the path they chose because they wanted to go with quality over quantity. I mean, if the Lakers did sign Jackson Hayes to just a normal one-year veterans minimum contract rather than the via the one that with the non-bird rights, they would have an extra $1.15 million under that first apron, because that was basically the difference between being able to keep Goodwin and waiving him before they ultimately decide to sign Smart. But the Lakers, they went with the move to waive Goodwin, and they didn't want to create another roster spot and avoid just kind of messing with any type of flexibility they have. But still, I know it's a lot of words. I know it's a lot of breakdown, but that's kind of what this show is about. And really, the Lakers, their roster is pretty much set for the rest of the offseason unless you make a big trade. So that's kind of where the Lakers are at right now. I think the Marcus Smart move was the right move. I think it was an opportunistic move. And Marcus Smart did talk to the media about signing with the Lakers. And one thing he said was that he's very excited to join LeBron James. He said, quote, "It's not every day you get to play against, let alone with, one of the greatest players to ever play this game. We all know his IQ of this game is ridiculous, and playing against him, you see it tenfold. To be able to be on the other side to witness it and benefit from it instead of him taking me out with it on the defensive end, just to be able to soak it all in like a sponge is an opportunity I'm blessed to have." So it's really cool to have Marcus Smart kind of embracing LeBron James and being a Laker. And when you look at what Marcus Smart can bring to this team, I mean, he really helps you with the defensive switching. And J.J. Redick, he likes experienced players who know what it takes to win on the highest level, to be champions. And Marcus Smart certainly has experience doing that. And you kind of look at where the Lakers were at, they needed a point of attack defender. And that's why they wanted to move off of Shake Milton and Jordan Goodwin to bring in someone like Marcus Smart on the roster. So I do think one of the big takeaways in all of this is that, yes, this is always going to be a Luka Doncic-centric roster build for the foreseeable future, but this is a win-now piece. And this is a piece, I think, to appease LeBron James in some capacity and just want to win. I mean, at the end of the day, that's kind of what it's all about for this team. So Smart's going to know his role, and I think that the good thing about him is he's played alongside stars where it's Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum, and he understands that, hey, I'm not first fiddle or second fiddle. I just have to contribute and help this team win any way I can. So I like the fact that Marcus Smart was added to this team when he was, because I think that for Smart, not only does he provide that point of attack defender, but he also is going to be extremely motivated to have a bounce back season. And he said as much at his introductory press conference. He said, "I'm very motivated. The last 2 years for me, in my eyes, were a disappointment. Injuries kind of stopped me and held me back. But like I told my wife and my family, everything happens for a reason. And it's funny that 12 years ago, I could have been here, and now it's full circle that I'm here." So, yeah, I mean, back for him to be with the Lakers, and for the last two seasons, he really hasn't been extremely relevant. He was traded to Memphis, and that just didn't really pan out for the Grizzlies, and they ultimately just dumped his salary to the Wizards midway through last year. So that was where he was trending in his career. But let's not forget, though, Marcus Smart, at one point of his career, was one of the best on-ball defenders in the sport. Even before he took home the Defensive Player of the Year award in 2022, he built his reputation as a hard-nosed, tough defender that can really bring an old-school, hard hat, I'm going to get it into your grill type of mentality on the defensive side of the floor. It almost reminds me of when the Lakers were able to get Rajon Rondo in the later stages of his career and just kind of bringing in a veteran, bringing in a defensive guy that can also score offensively at times as well. But I also think, too, is like where Smart is, those injuries were a major factor. I mean, they really were. He injured his hand, he injured his ankle, and I think that that's a reason to be optimistic about what he could bring to the Lakers, because if they get even anything close to the best version of Marcus Smart, where you're looking at a elite perimeter defender who brings a toughness and a grit and a fire to a team, look, I mean, I like that. He's coming in here with someone to prove and a chip on his shoulder. So I'm very excited about this. I'm very excited about this signing of Marcus Smart. I truly do believe that this is going to be a difference-making signing for this team. And I truly think that, hey, the Lakers have, I don't want to say gotten lucky, but I think the Lakers have had some really, really good talented players fall into their lap that in other years would just not be available to them. So, yeah, that's kind of where they're at with that. Now, some more roster moves. And we'll talk a lot of Marcus Smart, too, later in the week and just exactly where he fits into this organization. I mean, I could go on and on for days. I mean, he told Dan Wojcicki of The Athletic a lot of quotes that really stick out to me, saying I still have a lot left in the tank, and the fact that, hey, he's ready to go to LA with someone to prove. I mean, this is a guy that has been limited to just 54 games in the last two seasons. But the silver lining is those injuries have been to his hand and his ankle, and those typically aren't long-term, career-ending type of injuries. They're ones that you can bounce back from, and they're kind of fluky. He said, I think we stack right up there with the best of them as far as teams in the Western Conference, and I think we can compete. Our ceiling is high. I think there's no ceiling. I think if we all lock in and come and do what we're supposed to, we can have a real good shot at it. So that's something that makes you want to jump through and run through a brick wall. And it just feels like this was a really, really great move when you think about it. I mean, just kind of looking at this roster right now, I mean, LeBron James, Luka Doncic, DeAndre Ayton, Rui Hachimura, Austin Reeves, those are your starters. Marcus Smart, first off the bench type of starter. You've got Jake LaRavia. He's going to get regular minutes, like 20, 25 per game. Jared Vanderbilt, regular minutes, 15, 20 per game. Jackson Hayes, regular minutes, 15, 20 per game. Gabe Vincent, regular minutes, 10 to 15 per game. And that's a 10-man rotation the regular season. And then you look deeper into that, Maxi Kleber, garbage time guy. Dalton Knecht, if he emerges, he's going to get minutes, but he could all certainly take a lead. Bronny James, he's had a really great summer league. Does he get more minutes? You got Thiro, you got Christian Coloco, and Chris Mannion. So there definitely is some very intriguing parts to this roster, and I think the depth kind of sticks out. And I just do think that outside of making a big, massive impact trade where you're kind of mortgaging your future, the Lakers absolutely have made some very, very good high upside signings. Now, some more things to get into. The Lakers did waive Trey Jemison. The Lakers waived Trey Jemison. He was on a two-way deal. Jemison signed a two-way deal with the Lakers last season. He played in 22 games. He averaged 2.6 points, 2.8 rebounds for the Lakers, and he averaged 10.5 points and 7.8 rebounds in four regular season games for the G League last year, but it just never happened. Jemison didn't have really any of those, okay, I deserve to be here type moments. Didn't have the athletic upside, didn't show any explosiveness, so you're not really missing much from that. But the Lakers did make some other signings where they signed Christian Coloco and Chris Mannion to two-way contracts. Sham Sharania tweeted, Los Angeles Lakers plan to sign seven-footer Christian Coloco and forward Chris Mannion to two-way NBA contracts. Sources tell ESPN, Mannion, undrafted out of Vanderbilt, played for the Warriors in California and Las Vegas summer leagues. Coloco played 37 games for LA last season. So during Coloco's 37 games with Los Angeles, he hit 2.4 points, 2.5 rebounds per game. But in the G League for the South Bay Lakers, he definitely showed some flashes. I mean, 14.8 points per game, 8.4 rebounds, 3.1 blocks in 10 regular season games. In the summer league, he continued to trend upward too, averaging 7.2 points per game, 1.2 steals, and 2.6 blocks per game. So that definitely explains that. As far as Chris Mannion, Dan Wokey tweeted, word on Chris Mannion is he's a high-level defender and a smart player with a great motor who plays the right way, value as a two-way signing in their development program. So his numbers won't blow you away. He averaged a block and 1.7 steals in Vanderbilt. He was really more of a defensive guy, averaged 6.6 points per game in his only season with the Commodores. He spent his first three seasons in the Ivy League at Cornell. But you got two guys on two-year deals, on two-way deals, and it'll be see if they can develop. So we'll see about that. But I do like that. I do like that move right there too. I mean, Coloco has kind of earned it, and Mannion seems like he's more on the defensive side that can't put the ball in the hoop occasionally.
Rivalry that shaped football. The players who defined an era. For the first time ever in LA, the icons of FC Barcelona and Real Madrid take the pitch at BMO Stadium. Watch the Legend Series, FC Barcelona Legends versus Real Madrid Leyendas, live in LA on February 22nd at BMO Stadium. For tickets and exclusives, go to wearehouseofheroes.com.
Now, one thing I want to talk about is LeBron James, too, before he had it here. He was accused of doing PEDs. Here, check this out.
Which Bron was better?
Miami Heat, Bron.
Miami Heat, Bron.
Miami Heat.
I'm going this Cavs, Bron, because this Cavs, Bron had a three.
Man, y'all crazy.
Miami Heat, Bron. Bron we ever seen. I ain't gonna lie.
He was on steroids, bro. He had to sit out. He was on steroids for real.
Now, I give you
like legit was on steroids, bro. Allegedly. But, like, he had to sit out. But y'all remember when they told him, like, they
there goes start Clutch Sports allegations.
Y'all remember that, though? No. Well, they was like, he got everybody, they started testing for HGH. And they was like, yo. And he had to sit out. Like, he said his back was hurt. And he sat out for, like, 3 weeks. And he came back skinny. This is just, I was in the league. I remember. And he came back in. He was crazy, though, bro.
Nah, that might have been the best Bron, bro.
So, first of all, Jeff Teague, I get it. Your career's over. You're trying to be a hot take podcast artist because that is the trend, NBA players sitting around just talking and blah, 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 blah. A lot of good clips come from these things. There's some pretty solid podcasts out there. I'm a big fan of the All the Smoke podcast that was started by my fellow Bruin, Matt Barnes. But, Jeff Teague, I have a problem with you because you have a problem with the timeline. The problem with that is that the league didn't start testing for HGH until after LeBron James left Miami. And LeBron didn't sit out for 3 weeks while he was with the Heat. Other than that, you've got a sound argument. You definitely have your timeline confused because this was the first year back in Cleveland, which was common back in 2015. And Jeff Teague is parroting and stealing, let's be honest, the same theory that's been parroted on multiple podcasts all over the place. And here's the other stupid thing from his stupid theory and his uninformed take is that an injury does not preclude you from being tested. Okay? I think it's more that the league was just kind of looking at where they were at the time. But all these guys really think that LeBron James was doing PEDs. I mean, come on. What? It's the traps. It's the delts. It's the big shoulders. I mean, also, too, when are these people? You would think an athlete would be smarter to realize that HGH is not steroids, okay? I mean, yes, it can be a performance-enhancing drug, but let's be honest, they're not the same exact thing, so yeah, I mean, hey, man, you're telling me that a guy that didn't work out or play for 3 weeks came back a little smaller? Oh, wow, that's pretty significant if true. I mean, you look at where LeBron James is, and yeah, I just don't think that LeBron James is on PEDs, but good for him for peddling that. If I was LeBron James, honestly, I'd probably like sue him to an oblivion because it's not like he failed a drug test. It's not like the shape of his head just doubled and tripled. It just doesn't make any sense. But that's going to do it for this episode of The Big Lead. My name is Doug McCain. You can follow me on X and Instagram at @DMAC_LA. Hit the subscribe button, hit the notification bell, hit the like button for your Los Angeles Dodgers and for your Los Angeles Lakers. And for all teams that we cover here. So you're going to see football, the NFL, West Coast teams, 49ers, Rams, lots of Raiders. But it's going to be a lot of LA teams too here on this channel. Dodgers, Lakers, Clippers, UCLA, USC. So guys, if you're new to the channel, do me a huge favor and subscribe. Subscribe. It's a movement. It's blowing up. And it's all thanks to you guys. But that's going to do it here. My name is Doug McCain. Follow me on X and Instagram @DMAC_LA. Until next time, I'm out.